we sing, "When His Wounded Hand Touched Mine," just a few times, praise God, before we turn to the Word of the Lord. And the Lord bless each and every one. And I know there's still a lot of folks on holidays, but the Lord bless each one that's here. And those he's risen with, especially your sister, the Lord bless you. Good to have you and good to see you. God bless you. I want you to forget about everything this week and this day, everything, and I want you to concentrate on the Lord and really worship the Lord. And if you need a touch when we sing this, believe God can heal you while you sing it. Don't sing it if you don't believe it. But if you really believe it, sing it. And I believe it. You believe it? Let's really sing it. You can close your eyes, get in an attitude of worship. Let's really believe God this morning. Praise God.
Wounded
thank you and praise you for your beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We thank you for that day at Calvary. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, that you conquered both death, hell, and the grave.
Glory.
And you rose triumphant over the foe.
Hallelujah.
We thank you that the cross is empty.
Amen.
We thank you that the tomb is empty.
Jesus.
We thank you, Lord, that they're seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And you ever liveth to make intercession for the saints.
Amen.
We thank you that you're our high priest and you're touched by the feeling of our infirmities today. We praise you, Lord, that you said, "I'm the Lord thy God. I change not."
Amen.
Lord, you're the same yesterday. You're the same today. You're the same forever.
Hallelujah.
You're the all-knowing, all-powerful, magnificent, conquering Savior. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. Stir our hearts today, Lord Jesus. Help us with your word. Help us to preach it and help the hearers to hear it. Help us, Lord, to live out a word that it might be a manifestation, written epistle, seen and read of all men. Father, bless those that need your touch this morning in this house. Bless those that's on their holidays. Lord, as a ready made prayer, touch those that need your touch of healing. Father, get thyself all the praise and all the glory.
Hallelujah.
In this house this morning we pray, we welcome the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
We say, "Come Holy Spirit, have thy way. Move in our midst today, in Jesus Christ's name." Lord, I take the promised Holy Spirit to quicken and help me. And I thank you, Lord, you'll do it. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Shake hands with whoever's beside you and say, "The Lord bless you." Praise God. Praise the Lord. I've never taken this call. Praise the Lord. Isn't the Lord good?
Amen.
I want to preach a gospel message this morning. I just felt led to bring this. Maybe there's others should have been here. It's not here, but that will not make any difference. Let's turn to Luke chapter 16, and I want to thank all those that prayed for me for the service last night. God really moved in the meeting last night. And you know, when I was asked to go to preach at Brother Jackie's, I had a message on my heart then. He'd mentioned maybe I'd give him a testimony. And then before leaving yesterday, and I went and prayed for a while again, and I just felt that the Lord would have a word. And I shared a bit of my testimony and shared the word. And God really touched people. And there was a man there last night, he does a radio broadcast, but he's not where he should be. And the Lord really dealt with him. And God really done something for him and others as well. And the Lord really moved. And there's two real old preachers came to hear me last night. And I'm saying old. Maybe I shouldn't say that. Old. But they're a lot older than me. These fellas had healing ministries before I was born. But both of them came last night to the service. And the Lord really touched one of them in a powerful way. And we just thank the Lord for what the Lord's doing. Let us read from Luke 16. And everyone knows that scripture. But I want to go through these verses today and just share with you. And this is a simple message. I trust we'll get something from it. Maybe if we're all saved, maybe it'll stir our hearts to reach somebody. Verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. God bless you. Just may be seated. Praise God. Now I want to just take this morning lessons from a lost soul. And I want to say from the start of this service, as a young preacher many years ago, I preached from this text over these fields. I'm sure my Auntie Eiling remembers the wee hall over here. And I remember the night I preached in that hall, and there was a man got saved, and that man went on to be a minister. I was passing it the other day with my wife. We were going down past it, and I said, all you can see is the steps and no home. There was a man not far from here rang me after I preached at that service, and God touched people's lives. At that meeting, I know people that got saved, and they're still serving the Lord. But he rang me and he picked up a doctrinal issue and he fell out with me over it. And he said to me, he said, I will see to it that you will be preaching no more over in that hall. And I called him his name and I said, you do whatever you feel led to do, but one thing I'm going to tell you. Whatever God ordained for me to win over there, wherever it is, if you get between that and God, the blood's on your hands, for I'm willing to go. And that was the conversation ended, and I never seen that man again and there's no hall over there today. Now, I don't know what all happened to it. That's not my concern, but I was willing to go. And I want to say this morning, if a man's willing to go, don't you stop him.
Amen.
Especially if you're an armchair preacher.
All right.
And this fella was one that I'm talking about. And he wanted to stop me. Now, hear this man here. I want to get to this message this morning. And that's just by the way. But the thing is, isn't it remarkable? I never thought then we would be having meetings here. That's what I wanted to say. I never thought then over there that we would have meetings so close to that hall. And there's a patch of ground over there, ain't there? And there's another patch of ground down the road for renting as well. I'm just letting you know. See how serious you are.
Amen.
Talk's cheap.
Glory. Right.
But action's a different story.
Praise the Lord.
I tell you, do we really believe Jesus Christ is coming again? Do we really believe God has sent the last voice? Do we really believe, we saw a super sign, that the coming of the Lord is at hand? Do we really believe it?
Amen.
If we really believe it, we would have a vision for the lost.
Amen.
People say the bride's message is to get the bride ready. The bride will never be ready until she reaches the last one. And Brother Branham said that. He said there might be an offering here somewhere, but he said we have to reach the last one. And when the last one comes in, then we'll go. And we need to have a desire to reach the last one. Let me read you what a man called Trench said. Sin not till it is left will dullify sinful sin. A man must waken first ere he can tell his dream. I tell you, it's only the Spirit of God can waken a man from a slumber. And it's only the Spirit of God can waken a man from a sleep.
Yeah.
And many today that claims to be believers are fast asleep. And is that not the cry of the age? And is that not the cry of the hour? At midnight, the cry was me. Go ye out to meet him. And they all awakened and trimmed their lamps, but there was half of them had no oil in their lamps. Now I tell you, we're living in the last of the last days, and Jesus is coming. Whether people believe it or not, he's coming again. And he's coming for a people that's ready. And you won't be fit to blame the pastor or the elder or the deacon. You'll have to get yourself ready.
Amen.
It's a personal, individual affair.
Hallelujah.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Amen. Him that willeth, the Lord will come in and sup with you. An individual affair today. Here we see, first of all, this rich man had to waken up for an eternity before he would tell the dream of a wasted life. Now, however long that was, and we know Brother Branham said, we don't believe hell's eternal. Some people do, we don't believe that. But it is a long time. And here this man wakened up in a place called hell. What a shock to waken up in hell. In a place of torment, where the worm dieth not, for the fire's not quenched, wakening up in hell. You know, the Word of God says no man can serve two masters.
Amen.
Matthew 6:24 says no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Either you're full out for God or you're full out for the world. Make your mind up.
Amen.
God wants people that sold out for him. God wants people today that's fully surrendered to him. God wants people that the world's no grip on, but that the Spirit of God's a grip on. That's the people God wants.
Glory. Great.
see him. Oh, they're predestined, they'll come. That's a pathetic attitude.
Amen. That's right.
I tell you, God said, he set gifts in the church. God said, go ye into all the world and preach to every creature.
Amen.
The prophet's message we claim to follow, the prophet we claim to believe in, he had a vision for the lost.
Right.
He did everything to see people saved. Says he never eat for days. He drank brine water and eat crackers so that he could be in the meetings. He did all he could to reach the lost. But an attitude of they're going to come, they'll come, is a sad one.
That's right. Yes.
Why would God send preachers? God doesn't have that attitude.
Right.
God's will is that we go and preach to every creature.
Right.
Paul said he's not willing that any should perish, but that all might be saved. The Lord wants to save. And who's going to go for the Lord?
Right.
I'm not a preacher, but you could bring somebody in.
That's it.
You could bring somebody to the preacher.
Amen.
There was men that carried the paralyzed man in.
Right.
They weren't the preacher that day, but they brought him in to Jesus.
Glory.
And I tell you, all you have to do is get them into Jesus.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said last night, when you read the text of that from Luke 5, there's two things about it. The power of the Lord was present. Number one, if the Holy Spirit's not there, the power of God's not there.
That's right.
You say, don't feel it. Well, you better start believing the Word of God till you do feel it.
Glory.
Because it says, greater is he that's in you.
Amen.
You don't have to go up to bring him down or down to bring him up.
Glory.
But the Word of God says he's nigh thee even in your midst.
Glory.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
No wonder Wigglesworth said, if the Spirit of God doesn't move, I'll move the Spirit. He believed it.
Amen.
I believe he believed it.
Glory.
I tell you, this man, no man can serve two masters. Especially when the master's different characters, much as God and Mammon. Mammon stands for the love of riches, for the pleasure of sin.
Right.
Both God and Mammon demand a mastery. You don't want half of you. The devil's not satisfied with a wee bit of your brother or sister. He wants you all. He wants to dominate your life. He wants to ruin your life. He wants to ruin your testimony. He wants to ruin your prayer life. He wants to ruin your reading life. He's not for you. He is against you. He sent demons to come against you. He'll use other people to speak against you. He'll do whatever he can to pull you down.
That's right.
But God, on the other hand, has sent gifts in the church.
Right.
To edify the church, to bless the church, to restore God's people, to bless God's people. The Holy Spirit sent to glorify Jesus.
Amen.
Not to glorify some pope or some man, but to glorify Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I tell you, if we haven't come to glorify Jesus Christ, we're wasting our time. We need to come to glorify the Lord. We need to come to meet afresh with the Lord. We need to come to meet with the Lord so that God can lift our heavy burdens, so that we can press in with God.
Glory. That's right.
The covetousness and the pride of the heart are always ready to justify themselves in the sight of man, forgetful that they may esteem things very highly which are an abomination in the sight of God. Look in your scripture here and look down with me to verse 14 and 15. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. They never believed it. Verse 15, and he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. But God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. When men think they've something big that other men needs, God says it's an abomination. We don't need better men. We need better prayer warriors.
Glory.
There's nothing better we can have than what we've already had. Brother Branham said that Jesus himself stood here in our midst in a physical being. There's no more he can do for you. He already did it 2,000 years ago on the cross.
Amen.
Jesus paid the price. Jesus Christ has done it. But we need to grip it by faith.
Glory.
And believe it.
That's right.
We don't need to go out and say, well, it's prayed for, but it'll be no different. That's unbelief.
Amen.
You need to repent if you're like that.
Amen.
You need to believe God's word. Believe it and hold to it. Hold to the unchanging hand of God.
Amen.
Let's not make out that God's some wee fella. They know he's restricted and all this nonsense. The heavens can't contain God.
That's right.
Wigglesworth said that the devil's as big as you'll make him. And God's as big as you'll make him. And I tell you, the God we serve is big. Words which follow, but a certain rich man and a certain beggar, a heavy laden with solemn and weighty meaning. The Lord does not call this a parable. His meaning is clear and unmistakable. Then what are the lessons we're to learn from this portion? What are they? That a man may have a beautiful appearance in the sight of man, but yet his heart is absolutely corrupt. Someone can appear to be a saint, and yet they're the biggest sinner there ever was. And I tell you, God sees into the depths of the heart, and God knows the heart of man. And the Bible says the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? God sees the heart. Not only does God see the heart, but we know that Hebrews tells us the word of God is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart, and that God not sent something in our day, in our generation, where God did discern the thoughts of the heart.
That's right.
He knew the secrets of man's hearts.
Amen.
God has shown that. And I want to tell you, God's servant Mike went home to be with the Lord, but he preached Jesus is the same. So he still knows the secrets of the hearts. He's still the same. Those who think that they have need of nothing, but they're wretched. Revelation 3:17 says, because thou sayest I'm rich and increased with good, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that I'm wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. If it was down to the great building and a great church, there's churches today, there's buildings today, and they're wonderful to look at, they're wonderful to the eye. When I went to Africa, I saw walls for miles that the Catholic Church had put up, that the Catholic Church had, and they'd almost taken over parts of Zimbabwe, and the Muslims in Malawi have taken over parts of Malawi, and they hire a man. Listen to this. This is a real disgrace from Christians, you know. They hire a man that gets out of his bed at 6 in the morning or 5. It's early. I can't remember the time. And he hollers at the top of his lungs to Allah. And they have a large speaker on. And nobody complains. You can hear it for miles. And he's hired so that he can roar out for a false religion and a false God. A religion of a man that's still in the grave, whose bones are stinking, whose flesh is rotting away, and he never had a resurrection, and he never rose. But we today are serving a Savior that's risen from the grave.
Amen. Right.
The tomb's empty and the cross is empty. Jesus Christ should be hollered about.
Amen.
We shouldn't be afraid to praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And they can hire these false preachers and false prophets, and they hollow their message out. When I was in the lobby, they wake at me every morning, and I made a pledge with God. I say, as soon as I hear the noise, I'll pray while they holler, and I'm going to pray against them. And that's just what I done. You said you're only you. One will put 1,000 to flight, and 2 the 10,000. People got saved in the meetings. They got delivered by the power of God. All this false religion, but people make a big ado about it. Because there's a beautiful steeple, you know, Don Francisco sang a song, it doesn't matter how steep the steeple is, if it's sitting in a cemetery, it doesn't matter if you know the Bible, if it's all just in your head. The things I need to ask you, have you done the things I said?
Amen.
Steep steeple and a beautiful building means nothing. There's many today with steep steeples and beautiful buildings, but they're dead.
Right.
And the blind leaders of the blind, but God has a people. And when 2 or 3 are gathered in his name, he's in the midst. Brother Branham preached the message called God's Chosen Place of Worship, and that was where he put his name, and his name is Jesus Christ.
Amen. Right.
And we're gathered today in that name.
Glory.
And I want to tell you something about that name. Jesus.
Amen.
Just at the mention of his name, the flowers grow, the desert blooms again, just at the mention of his name.
Amen.
Wigglesworth went to pray for a dying man one night, and the man was stone dead. And he said he never prayed out loud. He whispered the name of Jesus.
Yes.
He just whispered the name of Jesus. And he kept whispering the name of Jesus. And that dead man came alive.
Amen.
I want to tell you this morning, Buddha and Muhammad have no power or strength compared to my Lord Jesus.
Right.
And I want to say today, if you stand for the Lord, he'll stand for you.
Yeah.
He'll never fail.
Glory.
He cannot fail. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
The man may be poor and loathsome in the eyes of this neighbor, yet be rich and beautiful in the sight of God. Verse 20. And there were a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the gate, full of sores. This man had nothing this world could offer. This man had no riches, no beautiful house, no beautiful home. How would you compare that with these modern day preachers? Come on. They preach a prosperity gospel. And if you're not driving a Rolls Royce and don't own an airplane and live in a mansion, God's not with you. That's more or less what they're preaching. And one of the main men over there, when he was asked on an open broadcast, is there another way to heaven outside of Jesus? And he had no backbone whatsoever. And he said, I believe there's other ways to heaven. What a liar.
Amen.
What a false prophet.
Amen.
My Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved.
Amen.
Other than the name of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Here this man had none of these things what the world would call blessed, but he had the Lord.
Amen.
He had the Lord. Imagine at this fellow's funeral, hardly a coffin, just a bit of an old casket. There wasn't much in the way of gold or silver on it. This rich man was packed away in all the splendor, and I'm sure if you'd have heard the minister at his funeral, it would be like the woman said about one man she heard him burying. She said, who was he? For I never knew.
That's right.
The fellow they're talking about. And they'd have praised him and all the wonderful things he did. But there's one difference. There's one difference in this rich man and Lazarus. The angels packed Lazarus away.
Amen. Glory.
Angels for pallbearers. What do you think of that?
Glory. Amen.
I tell you, I'd rather have angels for pallbearers, would you not?
Amen.
This man knew God.
Amen.
He knew God.
Hallelujah.
Even though he'd nothing in this world, he knew God. What the Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and in the end lose his own soul?
Right.
Poor beggar may have been the object of disgust by many, but the Lord looketh not in the outward appearance. It is no uncommon thing for a character of a poor, afflicted child of God to stink in the nostrils of a covetous, wealthy man of the world. They've cut your throat.
Right.
And that's the truth of it. And there's men today and money's their God. And they don't preach because God's called them to preach. And they're not in the ministry because God called them into the ministry. But they're in the ministry for the pound note.
Right.
And how much they can get out of it. One of my brothers, he's not here this morning, but he worked on a job and the fella trained, saying, I'm training for the ministry. And he said, why are you training for the ministry? He says, you can't, there's no better pay. You see, in the nominal churches today, there's a big wages. $45,000 a year, you know, in some places. Now over here in Ireland, that's quite a lot. But God never called them. Man called them. And then you go and they preach no gospel. I tell you, what is it going to be in that day when all the men that wear collars and even some that don't, and they stand before God, and God's going to say, did you preach the gospel? Did you warn the people? Well, I told them God's love. That's good, but that's not just enough. Did you preach the way John preached, repent? Did you preach the way Jesus preached, repent? Did you preach the way the apostles preached? Did you preach the way the seven church age messengers preached?
Amen.
What's it going to be in that day?
Glory.
Will the board call me? God will not ask the board.
That's right. Amen.
That a man may have, look at verse 22 and 3, that a man may have a pompous funeral and at the same time be a miserable soul. A big pompous funeral doesn't mean God's in it. Especially when you have some man in cloaks at the front and he tells everybody he was baptized as a child and he's sure to be in heaven. What a prophetic sermon. Let's be honest about it. A pompous funeral and him burning in hell. I tell you, it's a serious thing to fall into the hands of a living God. There would be more real murmurs at some funerals if we only could see within the veil. If you only could see beyond the veil, if you only could see what God can see. I never forget many years ago. I can't remember if it was R.J. Schombach did it. I think it was. It's a long time ago I heard this. But this man was one of those like Hell's Angels on a bank, and somebody was doing a meeting. And they asked him to this meeting. It was a tent meeting, tent revival. And he said he'd sooner ride the bank to hell than he would go to the service. And he didn't get her up the road till he was killed at her. And all these gang members and all these Hell's Angels all came in the hundreds to the tender's funeral. Now, could be wrong saying it was Schombach, but I think it was. But it was a man of God anyhow. Do you know how he started the funeral service? He walked straight to the front amidst all his father's best mates, amidst all his best Hell's Angels friends. And there was a beautiful coffin laid out and draped in the very best they could have, and all their backs outside and all the whole peculiar, and there was thousands on it. And that old preacher took his hand to God and he slapped the top of the coffin as hard as he could. And he said, as far as I know, this man's now in hell. And that's how he started his sermon. I want to tell you, when he finished preaching, the altar filled at the funeral, and hundreds of people gave their lives to Jesus Christ and got saved. You say you couldn't start a funeral like that. He did. Old Pastor Willie Mullen preached a funeral once for a church that wasn't his own church. Whether he had no minister or not, I don't know the full story, but he preached it. And he preached the gospel. And they threw him aside after the service and they said, Brother Willie, do you not think it was a wee bit out of season? And he says it was. And they said, well, we thought that. And then he said to them, praise God. Amen. For he told me to preach it in season.
Amen. Amen.
Some of this was on a funeral I was at. Not very long ago. People in this room was on it. It's about 2 years ago. I'm not sure the exact date, but it was right over here. Brother Gary will know what I'm talking about. And that minister preached well. And he preached about taking a journey. You remember that, brother? And I was there and I heard what they said. They hated his guts. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to hear the gospel. And the old preacher, he gets it 10 times, you know. All the wee tongues wiggling behind his back. He gets it tight, doesn't he? But then the Bible says If the watchman warneth the people, the blood will not be required at his hands. What will it be in the day of God's wrath? What's it going to be? Men eloquize the past of the world's departed great ones. But what about the present? They praise the past. They did this, they did that. What about it? The Bible said, man is like the grass. He cometh up for a while and he wither away. The glory of man shifts for a moment. A man called Maureen Guiler came here from America years ago. And he preached one of the best sermons I've ever heard. And he preached about the three glories. Preached about the glory of the unsaved man. And he preached about the glory of the saved man. And he preached about the glory of God. And when he could finish preaching, people conceived. And I tell you, man's glory's nothing. It's but for a moment. Look at verse 24. That a man may have abundance in this world's good, and yet in the world to come he's utterly destitute. Destitute of mercy. You could have everything going for you here. You could have the best car, the best house, the best home. Everything could be running smooth. Everything could be running great. But what about over there? This beggar was only a beggar here. A beggar. That's how low he was. But he's not a beggar in heaven. This rich man first, sumptuously, this rich man and everything. You know, we had a millionaire sat at the back of this church several times, whether you know it or not, there was.
Amen.
Some of you fellas know him.
Yep.
He built a house recently and he sold it for over £1 million over here recently. Backslid. He had a famous Bible from a famous preacher that he gave me, but he came and God spoke to him. And he read a scripture and he took me back to his house and he brought me up in this kitchen and the Bible was open on the table and he says, Tom, there's a scripture God spoke to me. There's a scripture I read. And he says, when I come to your service, you preach from the same scripture. But he never got right with God. He'd never been fit to say, I never was warned. He'd never been fit to say, I wasn't told. God came right to the doorstep, but he closed his ears. An old preacher used to say, give them a good smack and knock the wax out. Revelation says, let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit saying.
Amen.
God has spoken. Abundance means nothing. The worshipper of mammon on earth has found out in eternity that a smiling providence is no evidence that the soul's right with God. I'd rather have Jesus.
Amen.
Than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus than all the wealth untold. I'd rather have Jesus. You say we're all saved and you're preaching the gospel. Well, it'll do you good. You see, some people have the idea, we're saved, we never need to hear the gospel. Where do you read that in this Bible?
Amen.
Show me.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Branham preached the gospel in every message, even in the saved.
Amen.
He preached the gospel. You can't show me a tape where he didn't preach the gospel. He exalted Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We are called to exalt Jesus Christ. Mark 8:36 says, for what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? If a man neglect this opportunity in this life, in the life to come he will have good cause for remembrance. His folly, verse 25 says it. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. some change. I want to encourage you to serve in the Lord. Maybe you prayed, you didn't get the thing you thought you should have got. You ever had problems? Nobody in here? Well, I've had plenty of them. And I know some of you has had, whether you're admitting it or not. But it didn't mean the Lord wasn't still with you. God's still with you. And I tell you, the most important thing is to have the Lord. 5 minutes and I'm closing. And if a man neglects his opportunities in this life, in the life to come, he will have good cause to remember the folly. The rich man neglected the call. The rich man neglected the opportunity. He neglected it. He wasted it. But Lazarus didn't. That those saints and sinners may meet together now, the time is coming when they must eternally be separated. Do you ever think of that? Do you ever think that the friends you have that's not saved, I've plenty. There's people I love with all my heart, but they're not serving the Lord. They're not following the Lord. But there's coming a time when we're going to be separated from them. There's a rapture that's going to take place. There actually is a rapture. You're not going to go where the people that's not seeing. You're going to be separated. You'll meet those that see him, but those that's not see him, you're separated. Right. You ever think of it? What if the Lord took us all tonight? I guarantee you, I'd do it. I would say, we should have witnessed to him more or to her more, but it'd be too late. Never miss an opportunity for Jesus. Even if it ticks the hide at you. Yeah. Amen.
That's right.
I tell you, live for the Lord now. You know, William Branham said, whatever you are here, you'll be over there.
Glory. Amen.
Whatever you are here, you'll be over there. I want to live for the Lord now. I want to reach people now. There's a great gulf fixed. Everything depends on our relationship to God and His Christ. All the prayers of the penance and the papacy will never bring a soul back. It's false teaching. Think of the people this morning that's praying somewhere and counting the rosary beads and praying to Holy Mary, Mother of God, and God never had a mother. It's all based on false religion. William Branham said the highest form of spiritualism is the Roman Catholic religion. He said it is priestcraft. Big Paisley said the same thing. He said it's priestcraft. Because a priest stands at the front and he re-offers Jesus. He re-offers him. He tells the congregation he's in this box, he's a wafer. And I've invested in me, for the Pope of Rome, the power is in me. When I take this wafer, it's transformed into the literal, physical body of Jesus Christ. What a blasphemy. Hey. Now we can amen it and we know it's right, but you think of them dear people that believe it. Hey. That's why I believe Martin Luther's one of the greatest conversions there ever was. I believe that with all my heart. That man was stepped in the darkness of popery and Romanism. A monk of the Augustine order, but God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, moved him and made him the messenger of that age. My friends this morning, and once they heard, they prayed the prayer to get saved. People never bothered with them too much, but once they heard that God see him, they wanted to take them back to Rome. You ever read a book called All Roads Lead to Rome? You know Roberto Riviero? Roberto Riviero told a man that I met. He said the Roman Catholic Church fears none of the modern day preachers. Only William Morris. that beyond the different wee ups and sights, we're looking for the Antichrist. We believe this is it. This is it. Rome. And the Pope is the Antichrist. I'm not looking any further. I know. I tell you, the Lord's coming. Matthew 13 and 30 says, let both grow together into the harvest. In the harvest time I will say to the reapers, gather ye that together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Did you know today that many Christians are singing ecumenical songs that are wrong? You know that. Now, I'm not a musician or anything, but you brothers know what I'm telling you is right. That's why we need to sing the old songs. That Redemptional Hymnal is one of the best books, I believe. Brother Branham loved the old songs. The old songs that were written by men and women moved by God. That the prayers of the lost can avail nothing. I tell you, they can pray as long as they want for someone in the grave. It will not change it. It's too late. The gulf's been passed. Now's the time. I'm going to have to close. You say, brother, why are you preaching it? Have we a desire for them? Have you a longing to see them, somebody saved, you know?
Amen.
That's in bondage. We need to be praying for them. And not only do we need to be praying for them, we need to live a life that's worthy of the gospel. God spoke to the man last night, and he's heavily involved in Christian work. And I'm telling you in this service because you don't know him, but he was smoking and he was doing other things, and I knew he was. And the Spirit of God knew it. And he came aside for prayer last night, and God knew his whole heart. And he said he's involved in Christian work. He's on the radio 5 days a week preaching. And backslidden. I tell you, I want you in this house this morning, every one of us, me included, to take stock. I'm serious. I want us to take stock. And I want every one of us to ask ourselves the question, do we believe the Lord is coming? And I want you to encourage you, those that's doing something for God. And when I say doing something for God, we can do nothing. Only what God permits us. But when you get an opportunity, you take it. When you let whoever wants can sit back and say what they want, don't you worry about that. You do what God wants you to do.
Amen.
Let's stand our feet this morning. Maybe the musicians could come, praise God. I'm not going to be a moment. Let's close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Now there's one thing I covet, and old W.P. Nicholson said it. I covet earnestly your prayers. That's the most important thing. And it's important, you know, to pray for the man behind the desk.
Amen.
Right. And it's important to pray for each other. If you believe God has challenged you and spoke to you today, lift your hand up to the Lord. And I'm going to pray for you. And every eye's closed, every head's bowed, your eyes closed. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You know, someday you can turn around and it's too late. I'm 50. There's others older than me. There's others younger. But time goes quick. And only what's done for the Lord will count. Heavenly Father, I just thank and praise you for the thanks of your presence. Thank you most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ. Left the glory and splendor of heaven above. Took upon him the form of a man. And he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. God have raised up this same Jesus, whom we preach, on the third day, triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. Father, will you help every one of us to serve you more? Bless the hands that's raised. Give them the courage and the strength they need. Help us, Lord Jesus, to win others to thee. Help us, Lord, never to miss an opportunity for the gospel. Help us to have a hunger and a desire to reach out to the lost and dying soul. Father, this evening, this morning, bless and strengthen your people. Help them, Lord. Bless my sister. Bless my brother. Meet their every need. In Jesus Christ's name. Father, we know you promised you'll never leave us nor forsake us. And you're always with us. We praise you and bless you for it. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you as a brother comes. And don't forget this evening at 6 o'clock. And let's come this evening. I know there's not many of us. Make an opportunity and try and bring someone tonight. I know it's difficult. I know it's difficult. But you'd be surprised what God can do. God bless you all.